She's come undone. She didn't know what she was headed for. And when I found what she was headed for, it was too.
All right, well, it's Monday, and that means our longest serving. Serving the longest sentence of all, Professor Alan Sachs, professor of political science, University of Texas, Arlington. He's been serving that sentence for like 7 or 8 years now.
I love it. It's wonderful.
You thought you'd get out for good behavior, but it just hasn't worked out for you, you know.
I think it's a great program. I appreciate being here.
Well, I greatly appreciate you being here. Well, you know, the defense begins today, but in all honesty, I think much of the news coverage today and tomorrow and maybe for the rest of the week is going to be overshadowed by the death of Kobe Bryant. And don't get me wrong, Kobe Bryant was an icon, not just in sports, but spoke three languages, was doing a tremendous amount of philanthropic work in Los Angeles for homeless people and so forth. So Kobe Bryant, I think he might have been the last guy that went directly from the high school ranks to the NBA. Maybe LeBron did the same thing. But at any rate, one of the few that ever did that. I mean, an incredible life story brought to an unfortunate end yesterday in California, right?
I'm not a great fan of basketball, but it was tragic anyway, because apparently, by all accounts, he was a pretty good guy.
Yeah, that's what everybody said. Good guy who did a lot for his community, great father, and like I said, spoke three languages, kind of a cosmopolitan individual. I'm not a big fan of the NBA either, just not my thing. But still, you're going to watch the coverage will be wall-to-wall 24 hours on NBC, ABC, CBS because of our infatuation with celebrity. Correct?
Exactly. And sports in general. I had friends 25 years ago, showing my age, also in a helicopter. They were covering a sports story in Waco, Texas, and coming back on a Saturday night. It was foggy. They were flying at a very low level. They were told not to take off, and they hit a power line, I believe, and three or four people were killed. And I knew the pilot, who was a Vietnam War veteran, and a television photographer. They all died. And it really just shattered the news industry here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for quite a while.
Sure, very sad thing, yeah. All right, so let's move on to something. We can talk about impeachment, but there's some other big things happening this week that are very key. One thing I want to bring to your attention, 83% of American farmers support Donald Trump and everything that he's done, despite the fact that many of them were pinched on the tariffs and so forth, and they weren't getting the money for their beans and corn that they would have otherwise. 83% support for the president from farmers, according to some new polling here. And then Donald Trump is going to sign the U.S.-Mexico-Canada, USMCA, signing that on Wednesday, and then on Thursday, traveling to Michigan, one of the states that will greatly benefit from the USMCA, to bring his story of good economic news to Michigan. All of this with the backdrop of the impeachment
and
trial
he's also
going on.
Going to unveil, I don't know how successful it'll be, a Palestinian-Israeli peace plan of his. It may not get to first base, but it's a good try.
But, you know, he throws it out there. He's not afraid to give it a try. But the USMCA, obviously one of the reasons the American economy doing so well and really doing well in the last few days. Now as you look at Wall Street, pretty clear Wall Street believes that Donald Trump's going to be reelected, right? I mean, because Wall Street, when you look at the numbers, it's not about what's happening today. It's what's happening 6, 8, 10 months from now.
The only thing that's going to hurt Wall Street this week and probably today the most is this coronavirus.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
that
crazy.
Really is really giving a dent to the stock market. But that's not Donald Trump's fault. But you do wonder how much it's going to impact the United States as well. Looks like there are 50-some-odd deaths, most in China, and several thousand, I think, infected.
Infected, but as you look at it now, as the numbers start to emerge, you can compare this to SARS a few years ago.
That's
and
right.
MERS, very similar coronaviruses. The mortality rate of SARS, 10%. The mortality rate of MERS, just over 30%. And thus far, the mortality rate of this new virus is about 4%. So it's not nearly as lethal. I mean, I'm not discounting the people who have died, obviously.
It also shows how really sensitive our huge society worldwide is to something like a disease.
Well, sure.
And it's amazing. I think about it all the time. We have these huge skyscrapers, enormous buildings, armies, navies, ships at sea, and yet a disease spread by mouth or whatever can bring it all down.
Yeah, well, right. It's a respiratory illness that gets deep into the lungs. I mean, these coronaviruses are the same thing that give us the common cold.
That's right.
But some of them go rogue, if you will. This one apparently originated with snakes. Of course, at that meat market, you could buy snakes and bats and rodents, all the things you want for dinner.
They've got to learn to quit eating animals like that. Seriously, that's one thing I hold against the Chinese, and also some people in Korea as well. They eat too many animals.
They did. They eat every damn thing. Well, you know, in Africa, when we had the outbreak of the Ebola, it was coming from eating bush meat, which
that's
was
right.
bats and, you know, anything that crawled in a tree or slithered on the ground. It didn't matter. If it wasn't fast enough to get away, it was dinner, right?
And you can't say too much of that or you're blamed. It's politically incorrect.
I don't care.
To talk about those kind of issues. But you're absolutely right.
Why don't you eat insects in America? Well, because we have cows. Next question.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. It is. So I'm holding on that something else doesn't come up.
Yeah. Now, I know you don't eat any of those things.
But
the fact of the matter is, you know, why don't Americans eat all this stuff? Because we don't have to. All right? We have cows and whatever else. But as you look at, okay, so now let's get back to the impeachment. I saw a thing with David Axelrod here on Sunday, and he had just done a focus group in Chicago. And they talked for 80 minutes, did the group of people, about the concerns and challenges they have in their everyday life and the issues that affect them most. 80 minutes into the conversation, impeachment finally came up. These are Democrat voters.
But it's possible that Democrats might have an issue this morning, although I think it really should not be one, is John Bolton, and his book is leaking out.
Well, here's the thing, though. Did we already know that the president held up payments based on, you know, investigating Biden and so forth? I think we've probably arrived at that conclusion,
sure.
Have we not? So, okay, John Bolton says, well, he was holding up aid based on an investigation of the Bidens. Problem is, the deadline was September 30th for the money to get delivered to Ukraine. The money was released on the 11th of September, a couple of weeks of paperwork. The money went out ahead of the deadline. Where's the problem?
I like John Bolton, but I'm really disappointed in this particular issue now. I don't know what happened to him. And by the way, President Trump, as all presidents, have to be very careful who you bring around you.
John Bolton is a warmonger. I mean, Professor, you know that. Professor
that's right.
Alan Sachs. He's a guy who's been wanting to go to war with Iran and others for years and years, thinks we should go pound them into oblivion. And so when the president says, I don't want to do that, I'm not going to go get us involved in another war. It's not where we want to be. John Bolton and him had a disagreement. John Bolton leaves. And if his sour grapes are such that he has to go write a book to deep six the president, and if it's somebody like John Bolton that results in a Democrat getting elected president, then he should be damned. I'll give you the last word.
You know, Warren Harding, history does repeat itself. Warren Harding, when he was caught in some problems many, many years ago, he said, it's not your enemies you have to worry about, it's your friends.
That's right.
It's true.
And but he didn't get impeached. He would have, probably.
That's right.
He went ahead and died in office. So you had that going for you. But some people say his wife did him in. Anyhow. Professor Alan Sachs, always a good conversation. Thank you so very much.
I hope everybody stays healthy and well.
There you go. You too, my friend.
Thank you.
It's a Monday. Back after this.
I'm a small business owner, and I know the importance of keeping quality employees and staying focused on the bottom line. As a member of the Michigan Chamber, I now can do both through an incredible retirement benefit program called the Michigan Chamber Multiple Employer 401k Plan. Now I can offer my employees a competitive 401k plan, which enhances their benefits, keeps my costs down, and I don't have to deal with any of the administrative headaches. Saving money, enhancing our benefits, treating our employees like family, allows us to retain top employees and grow. The plan is administered through TriStar Trust Bank, a Michigan bank, and gives me a competitive advantage to help me attract and retain quality employees, all while saving money. To learn more about the Michigan Chamber Multiple Employer 401k Retirement Plan, go to michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber Multiple Employer Plan is available to Michigan Chamber members only. Become a member and receive $100 off by mentioning this ad.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.